Do I have this? I guess.
It's green, it's on. It's red, hit it again.
All right, good.
Let the record reflect that Commissioner Parra will not be in attendance this afternoon. Commissioner Magzig.
Here.
Commissioner Martinez.
Here.
Commissioner Mendez.
Here.
Chair Santoyo.
Here. All right. I guess we'll go to item one. Well, we just did item one, so we'll go to item two. And Madam Clerk, can you go ahead? Oh, flag salute. You want to do it, Nathan?
Sure.
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Madam Clerk, can you go ahead and...
Item number three is additions to the agenda. This item is to address any need to move the order of items on the agenda or if there was a requested addition for a matter that was identified after the preparation of the agenda.
All right. Is commissioners interested in doing any movements?
Yeah.
All right. I think with that, we'll go ahead and go to the next item.
Item number four is comments from the public. Any person wishing to address the commission on a subject not listed on the agenda may do so at this time. State your name, address, and please keep your comments to 3 minutes.
All right. We'll open the podium for anybody that wishes to come and make any comments that they'd like to, as long as they're not agenda items. All right. I don't see a rush, so we'll call it good. Let's move on to the next item.
Item number five is potential conflicts of interest. Any commission member who has a potential conflict of interest shall now identify the item and recuse themselves from discussing and voting on the matter pursuant to Government Code Section 84308.
All righty. So I'm asking the commissioners, is there anything that you guys want to... Not your word, okay. All right, doesn't look like we got any issues there, so let's move on to the next item.
Item number six is approve the consent agenda items 6A and 6B, 6A being the minutes from March 11th, 2026, 6B, Waterworks District number 42.
All right, so typically these are matters of routine in nature and usually approved by a single vote. Are there any members of the commission who would like to make any
motion
changes?
That. A motion.
Well, hold on a second. No, we're talking about making a change to the agenda.
Oh, no.
So
I have a comment. Okay. If that's
okay. Yeah.
So Jason, did we have Mr. Bliss together, junior high? Yeah. So Jason Sabaji here. His family's got item 6B on here. So here's a funny story for you. Mr. Bliss is running for city council in Merced. I've endorsed him. So Mr. Bliss quit his job because Jason and I were so horrible in eighth grade. So I was thinking that might have been a conflict that I should have disclosed earlier. But, yeah, so just for the record, want to throw all that out there. I got to disclose everything here.
I always kind of wondered what happened to him
because
he left us.
Yeah, he left us and had post-traumatic stress disorder, and now he's running for office. So he must be all better.
That's interesting.
That's another change.
Probably.
So you were one of the good ones, huh, Nathan? Nice. All right. With that, if there was nothing here at the commission, I'll open it to the public to see if there's any thoughts with regard to the consent agenda. Seeing none, we will then open it up for a motion. You guys are quick to the draw. Okay, we got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, let's move on to the next item.
Item number seven is proposed budget and work plan for fiscal year 2026-2027.
All right, I guess, Brian, you're going to go ahead and give us that report.
You're not.
Check 1, 2.
Not yet.
I was going to use my big boy voice today. So taking a look at our budget, actually.
Yeah, I don't take this.
They let us know that there was going to be possible.
Mine works.
Yeah.
You want me to do the report for you?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
All right. So at the last hearing, commission asked me to look up some facts regarding how we compare to other LAFCOs. The groups that I put us with are the other LAFCOs that were paid the same amount of Cal LAFCO allocations. So this next couple slides is trying to compare that same group in a best effort to keep it as apples to apples as possible. We don't have everybody's budgets yet for this year, so I had to look at last year's. Our numbers there on the bottom, last year we were at 914,000. And taking a look at the other LAFCOs that we would compare to, the next lowest budget would be Alameda, and the next highest would be San Mateo. But you can see there's still quite the range, as low as 627. At San Francisco, they really only have one county, one city, maybe a handful of districts. San Diego has a $3 million budget, so the rate is pretty large.
Yeah.
But as you'll see, there are different characteristics that help fill in some of these gaps and see the why. Take a look at population. That's one of the other considerations. Again, we are just a smidge over a million, and this is as of the 2020 census. Kern was the next county below us at 909, and Contra Costa was the next highest at 1.1 million. Again, quite the range there as well, ranging at the low of 764 all the way up to San Diego, almost 3 million.
Brian, in general, our county probably has the vast majority of special districts. Cities, I mean, the people we have to cover is significant compared to lots of those guys.
So that's something I looked at as well. The total number, I try to break it down between cities and districts and then provide the total.
Okay.
This one was a little bit surprising to me in that San Diego, they have a little bit different split between the number of cities and districts, but overall, just like we do, they would have to take care of over 134 MSRs. Mm-hmm. So they have the same grant total as we do, with only a smidge difference between the cities and the districts. We're at 15, they're at 18 for cities. So,
yeah.
That's what surprised me the most, I guess, of all these findings. But again, the next closest below us is Sacramento. Kern at 128 total, and then Sacramento with 144 total. I myself would prefer, if I had a choice, a county that had cities be the larger number compared to districts. Obviously, because doing MSRs, a little bit easier coordinating with city staff than it is maybe tracking down some of these smaller districts and getting the information we need out of them. But overall, looking at the grand total, again, that San Diego surprised me quite a bit.
Okay.
Look at staffing. I know this is a little bit confusing as well to try to break down. I have EO, DEO, or assistant EO, analyst, clerk, any other, and total. So again, I like to break it down to the total, but try to split it up as best I can. Wherever you see the little asterisk, that's because the way they broke it down, either on the website or the information they provided me, it was a little bit difficult to discern between if there were a separately paid consultant, or if they were part-time or full-time. The data was kind of incomplete for me to really figure out what should go there. But overall, again, looking, we have one EO, no assistant EO, four analysts, a clerk, and then for a grand total of six. San Bernardino somewhat matches us. They just have a little bit different split between the positions. Riverside and Kern have one less position, and Los Angeles has one more. So really comparing, again, overall as we go through this, the budget, the districts and cities, how
Yeah.
Quite a few of these, like San Diego, they have, I think, two legal counsel full-time on staff. They have a full-time, they have a full-time social media person. So it is a little bit different how these other LACOs take care of what they need.
So Brian, it would seem to me, and I don't know, and you might know, is that I would expect that the larger urban areas, such as Los Angeles or those kind of places, they probably contract out a lot of the work, and so that's why they don't have a huge staff, right? Because they contract it out, where we are doing it with our in-house staff, right? Because that makes a difference.
Yeah, that's generally the trend.
Okay. Yeah.
You also asked me to look into meeting stipends for what the commission commissioners get paid. By and large, it's around 100, with a low of 50. San Diego's a high at 290. Alameda's at 125. Mm-hmm. So we're in the ballpark.
Okay.
But we also have some room to go a little bit higher as well. If that's something the commission wants to consider. We are going to try to bring our updated employee handbook. Is that where that would go?
No.
And our policies, right? So we have our employee handbook for updating. We have our financial and accounting procedures for updating. It's time to update our policies as well.
Okay.
Here's what other LAFCOs charge for fees. This was a fun
mm-hmm.
one. What caught my eye was how some, but for most of the other LAFCOs, for MSRs, they basically have an hourly tracking system. They just charge however many hours it takes to get that MSR done. Also seem to break down between the top reorganization. If they think that they can get everything on consent, they'll charge a lower price for it. If they think it won't be on consent or even might trigger a protest proceeding, they'll charge a higher fee for that. The one that was most interesting to me was San Joaquin. They also are a LAFCO that does not have districts on their commission. So if you are the county or the city that's on the commission and therefore paying allocations, you get a discounted price for your projects because essentially you're a paying member. Districts have a little bit higher price because they're not on the commission and therefore paying allocation fees. So some difference there for us to consider. If that's what the commission wants to go into, we can have an expanded discussion on this. But because the way they charge fees, and again, some of it boils down to just if they're urban or rural, these fees are basically all over the place. So it's kind of difficult to narrow down, hey, here's a county that's charging just a smidge lower than us, and here's a county that's charging just a smidge higher. It's really just kind of all over the board. But I guess what that also means is that as long as we can justify how we break down our fees, we can end up anywhere on the board that you guys all see fit. Service extensions as well. We're at $750. Others, they have hourly, others as high, $5,000 for a service extension. I'd be curious to see more details as to what the justification is for that. For our service extensions, by and large, they are for, hey, it's typically an elderly couple that's kind of out in the county somewhere and their well dried up and they need connection now. And with the way our weather gets in the summer especially, hey, we need that connection now. Those are, by and large, the most types of service extensions that we see. So in my mind, charging them $5,000, right, that's again, I'd be curious to see the whys of the hows a little bit more as far as that goes. So before I jump into the proposed budget, if any of you have any questions on
Any questions by the commissioners? Okay.
Overall, the one that I saw the most similarities with was Kern. They're kind of right there with our budget. They're kind of right there with our population, the total number of MSRs. Staffing was pretty similar, what they paid for commission stipends. So if we were to try to emulate any of them, I would say the next closest. They also have a similar type of.
Or we could continue to do our own thing.
Yeah, I think that that's preferable, right? Because everybody probably has their own particularities in terms of why they're doing it. And, you know, I think from our perspective, you know, we certainly want to justify whatever we charge. And we also want to consider not being excessive because everybody's hurting. And so you don't want to be excessive. So I think we just stick to where we're at on that stuff for now.
What are the benefits? Well, first, I want to note that this year, the allocation we would pay is about $13,309. Some benefits, we would be a part of the Unified Voice and the Capitol, especially since we involve the Legislation Committee. It is also kind of worth noting that all of the most recent legislation that's gone, that we have, you know, kind of supported or not supported, none of it really directly affected Fresno LAFCO or the Central Region, but it is nice to have that shared voice unified. Staff training specific to LAFCO responsibilities, there's not really a known alternative. No one else really does MSRs or reorganizations. So that would be kind of an interesting gap to try to fill if we were to not join CalAFCO this year. Access to listserv. The EO listserv is quite active. It's also my understanding for staff, there's an analyst and a clerk listserv as well, and those are not as active. We also have the CalAFCO survey that's very helpful for the cases here when commission says, well, what are other LAFCOs doing? That's helped me quite a bit as far as giving you all the answers that you've been looking for. And then the staff workshop annual conference. It is in-person, hands-on training, there's network involved, there's morale boosting. It helps let the staff see a little bit of sunlight, get out of the office a little bit. But also, that also has its separate fee for that as well. Somewhere between maybe $2,000 and $3,000 per employee, per event. So that's not free.
So what would you say the average cost of, you know, the CalAFCO, including these conferences, you know, so there's X number of people typically attend it, and you add that to the, you know, the fee. So where does that put us? 20,000 or
somewhere between 25 and 30, probably.
Okay.
Year.
Yeah. So that I think that's really the number we want to be looking at, is the total cost annually. If it's in around $30,000, we should take a serious look at the value, because I think we have for the longest time been debating over whether we should remain in CalAFCO or not. And, you know, I think we gave it time to see if they were going to sort out through the various problems that they're encountering with a lot of other entities. And so so if I'll let you finish, and then I can basically report the discussion that the vice chair and I had with you on this.
So the last thing I would want to mention is, because the staff training specific to LAFCO would be a hard gap to fill, we also do have the option, at least for the staff workshop, they have a separate registration fee for non-members. Slightly higher, it's about, what, 200, 300 extra per person? So slightly higher, but we still would be able to get staff-specific training without having to pay the full $13,000. We can even limit that to say, hey, instead of all the staff going each year, we cycle through only two or three of them going and rotate people in and out. So it's not to say we necessarily have to do a full consider a full split, but there is a chance to have significant savings without necessarily sacrificing training opportunities.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Maybe before I open up to the commissioners, I will convey to you the discussion that both the Vice Chair Martinez and I had with Brian, because we both, correct me if I go astray, we both felt that the value of continuing with Cal-LAFCO, it wasn't really apparent, because the things that I hear there, you know, and especially if most legislation doesn't really even apply to us, as long as we have opportunities to do training for staff, which is, I think, the key thing. You know, it seems like there's an opportunity to save a chunk of money right off of the budget, and there's nothing to say that if we decide in a year that we need to go back to LAFCO, we can go back to LAFCO. And so I think both the Vice Chair and I were probably leaning towards not going with LAFCO. But I'm going to open it up to the commissioners in terms of what you guys are thinking.
No, I'm fine if we don't feel that there's a value to be there.
I don't see it, you know, and so... So, Brian, what do we need to do to just give you instructions to take it off?
Essentially, yeah, just provide direction to not assume that cost in the final budget. We'll come back the next hearing and hopefully approve that. And I'll notify Cal-LAFCO that we'll be sitting on for the year, and we'll circle back.
Yeah, I would keep some funds in there for training, but otherwise, yeah, take it out. All right.
So we're reviewing some key considerations for the proposed budget. Again, we did receive a recent influx in projects, so that is worth noting. But I still want to anticipate some flat fee revenues for this next fiscal year. We are looking at being able to roll over about $20,000 in interest revenue, and then as well as $225,000 remaining from this current fiscal year to help buy down allocations for the county and the cities. We are still able to keep our minimum reserve goal of 200,000, and all of that together would still have us at a 12% overall increase, but because we're able to buy down those allocations, the impact to the city and the county is still limited to around 2, maybe 2.5%. So we're still keeping that low for the county and the cities, especially with the recent climate that we've wasn't quite able to get us under $1 million as hard as I tried, but this would also still reflect that $13,000 from Cal-LAFCO. So this still has some room to be reduced, and we also will have some more information, one more month's worth of interest to account for, and then one more month to ensure that we have enough to reach the end of the fiscal year. So we might still have some more, again, guys are interested in buying down those allocations even further, we can do that, or I can plug it right back into CDs or high yield savings accounts and have that ready for the next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
In case we're continuing years.
So we usually go to Nathan, our financial advisors, to his advice on this.
Well, I think the biggest driver to our costs year over year is now, and so we've added staff. I'd like to see more MSRs being performed with the added staff to justify that. And we want to do MSRs every 5 years. Is that what it is?
The requirement is 5 years or as needed. We would typically hang on our hat.
On as needed.
Part of that. Yeah.
So with the added staff to justify that, I mean, we need to be doing more MSRs. So with that, I've reviewed the budget. It's about an 11.5% increase over last year's budget, which is steep, but as long as we can offset that with more MSR, I can justify it. So there you go.
So that is definitely a major goal of ours. The MSR.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go. I got another deal.
Okay, buddy.
The MSRs that we are targeting
with that, I'll move for approval of the budget.
Okay, all right. So, because I still have to open it to the public, so I'm going to do exactly that. I'm going to open it to the public in case there's any questions by the public regarding this subject matter. All righty, not seeing any. I think this is just basically a report and file until next time, right? All right. So let's move on to the next subject. Let's see. Do you want me to report this out, or do you want to? Go ahead, kick it off, and then we can give what our recommendation.
So after the last hearing, the recommendation was to recirculate the RFP to try to get some more proposals received. We did so, and really that number went from 1 to 2, so we at least had more than one to compare to. The ad hoc committee met and was interested in one over the other, provided direction to me to have our legal counsel review those proposals for any red flags, and Craig can chime in if he wants to, but really there was no concerns on their end that it was really the ad hoc committee to choose between the two options. And I think Mario has some more info on the way.
Yeah, so when we sat down to have this discussion, we kind of took a look at how their fee structure, their travel time it costs, things that basically would have an impact on the overall budget. And so there was one that was clearly in a much better position for that. But we wanted to have basically our legal take a look at it, see if there's anything we were missing. It doesn't sound like it's really, I think there was nothing missing. So I think our recommendation is, and I don't know, do we announce who we're going to recommend? Or
if you have your recommendation, you want to announce it? Yeah.
So why don't you help me remember the name of it?
Harem, Crabtree, and Suntag. Glad I got that right. A lot of names.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, they were the
counselors. Yeah, so so I think I'm going to have to open this up also for public comment before we take any particular action on this. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now. But seeing none, I think we're going to bring it back. Because I think, are we going to be able to take action on that? What are we going to do on this one?
Well, if you'd like, Chair, it sounds like the ad hoc committee just made its recommendation. I was talking to Brian before the meeting. If you would like, we can, between this meeting and the next meeting, work on getting a draft agreement together.
Okay.
And then the commission could take formal action at the next meeting.
Okay, that sounds like that's the instructions, is for Brian to do exactly that. And then we'll address it next meeting. Thank you. All right. That takes us to, I believe, the executive officer comments. That'd be you, Brian.
I'm going to have to run out of here in a minute. So,
okay.
You have no more business, but as soon as I leave, you lose your form. All right.
Make it quick.
So, I'll try to fight through this. At our May hearing, we have our minutes, the employee handbook update, and a review annexation. Regular items, we have the chair pro tem. That switch will be made. We may have a Salma annexation, and the Administrative District has an MSR annexation as well. Those two items have a couple of boxes to check still, so we're anticipating them be ready, but they may not. And then we'll have our final budget and our, I guess, hopefully, new contract for approval for legal for the commission's consideration. Your February financials should be in front of you. We did have one extension of service request granted, the water and sewer at 6176 North Grantland. And then your CalNATCO monthly update from the executive director. Did I get you those copies in under? Yeah. Okay, so they are in front of you as well. Unless there's any questions.
Anybody? anybody have any questions for Brian? If not, then I'm going to open it up for basically any commissioner comments or statements or reports or anything you guys want to do. Okay, it doesn't sound like we have that. And so with that, I don't even have a chance to even ask. But since we got a motion, we got a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.